Welcome to Test All Things. Test All Things is an outreach of Tower to Truth Ministries, and I'm your host, Fran Sankey. You can find us on the web at www.towertotruth.net. Test All Things is a Bible discernment, evangelistic program dedicated to creating an awareness of and biblical answers to false religious teachings opposing Christianity today. Today's teaching is about Harold Camping from Family Radio. Maybe you're familiar with him or even listened to his radio station and his teachings. However, he has gone way overboard in the last several years, falsely teaching that the church age has come to an end, which we'll be covering in this study. If you've never heard of him, well, who is Harold Camping anyway? Harold Camping is the president and the voice of Family Radio. Family Radio is a very large Christian radio station based in Oakland, California. It's heard throughout the country and even on many stations abroad. Family Radio, airing since 1959, has earned a reputation in the past of being a very solid, biblically grounded, and well-trusted organization, teaching and promoting the Word of God over the airwaves. In the past, it has broadcast sermons by many well-known Bible teachers and pastors. It also plays Christian music. I have heard more than one person tell me they used to listen to Family Radio 20 or 30 years ago when they first got saved, and it was a great encouragement to them then. Harold Camping himself has written quite a few books, conducted Bible training workshops, but is probably most famous for his call and talk program called Open Forum. Open Forum is basically a program where people call in with Bible questions and Camping answers them. To be honest with you, personally, I very seldom to never listen to the station. Well, why? For one thing, I just got hooked on the AM dial, especially this station you're listening to me now on. Another reason why I stayed away from Family Radio is because I got saved in 1994. Well, what's that mean? Well, if you know anything about Harold Camping and have a good memory, you may recall that he taught that Christ was coming back in September of 1994. Now, I was a very young Christian in the Lord then, but I knew at least one verse, that is, no one knows the day or the hour, not even the angels, but the Father only. I figured that this verse was good enough to prove him wrong, and lo and behold, 1994 came and went, and no Jesus. His book, called 1994, may have sold well in 93 and 94, but didn't do so well in 1995, if you catch my drift. So one figures that Mr. Camping gets added to a long laundry list of false prophets, and for the most part, bye-bye Harold, right? Wrong. Camping kept right on going with business as usual on Family Radio. He didn't retire to the false prophet nursing home or join a monastery to do penance for his sins, but continued broadcasting throughout the world. Unfortunately, like many false prophets and teachers, he's at it again. And this time is worse than before, way worse. Like all good false prophets do, when your prophecy fails, don't repent, but change the interpretation. Since Camping's prophecy for Christ's coming in 1994 failed, he now says in his book, The End of the Church Age and After, that 1994 marks the official year in which the church age ended. That's on page 250. This is exactly the mindset of false prophets. For example, the founder of the Jehovah's Witnesses, Charles Russell, predicted that the end of the world was to occur in 1914. He then moved it to 1915. When that failed, did he repent? No. The interpretation was changed. Currently, the Jehovah's Witnesses teach that 1914 marks the beginning of Christ's invisible presence over the earth. The early Adventist movement under William Miller taught that Christ will return in 1844. When it didn't happen, Ellen G. White, who was the late prophetess of the Seventh-day Adventist, taught that Christ entered the inner compartment of the temple in heaven in 1844 and has been conducting an investigative judgment over believers since then. All good false prophets know how to wiggle their way out of a false prophecy without repenting and getting right with God. After all, what's more important, keeping your followers or repentance? Priorities, priorities. However, this study is based on Harold Camping's teaching, which began several years ago that the Church of Jesus Christ on earth, as it appears in the local congregations around the world, has ended. That's right. The church, as a local and visible organization on earth, has ceased to exist and is under God's judgment. According to Mr. Camping, the Holy Spirit has left the churches and there are no more elders, pastors, and deacons. Ordinances such as Christian baptism and the Lord's Supper have also ended, nullifying the local church as a representation of Jesus Christ on earth. Camping states that the churches are no longer a means whereby God is working to evangelize the world. The church, according to him, is dead. Camping also teaches that we are currently in the tribulation and that Satan has been loosed by God to set up his throne in the local churches and deceive those within the congregations. All, quote, true believers are urged to flee from their local church, to get out of Babylon before it's too late. Camping even wrote in his book, The End of the Church Age, and after that, quote, those who remain in these churches think they are worshiping God, but in actuality they are worshiping Satan. What a blasphemous teaching. Harold Camping also teaches that the Word of God being read and taught in the church is of no effect on the congregation since the Holy Spirit has fled the church. It doesn't matter if the preaching is orthodox and biblically accurate or not. God is just downright done with the church age and has ordered strict judgment upon her. Here's a quote from the preface of Harold Camping's book called The End of the Church Age and After. Quote, we are now in that time of history when the church age has come to an end. Consequently, God has commanded each and every believer to leave his local church and continue to serve God as his ambassador outside of the churches and congregations. This is the action required by God for any and all who truly tremble before the word of God. Before I move on, I must make an important point. Camping, although he teaches that the local church is no longer an institution used by God to evangelize the world, does make a distinction between the external church, which is the local congregations, and the invisible eternal church made up of all true believers around the world. Camping does believe that all true Christians are part of the spiritual church. It's the local body of believers and the neighborhood churches that Camping is attacking now. Well, in case you're just putting on your high tops ready to bolt out of your church, you might be wondering, where do I go from here? Well, graciously, Harold Camping gives us the answer. Ready? Well, according to James White's book called Dangerous Airwaves, we can all huddle around the radio and listen to, can you guess it? Family radio. Right. Leave your local church, shake the dust off your feet, find a group of like-minded, deceived Christians and listen to fine radio stations like Family Radio. However, you have to make sure your new little group, don't dare call it a church, has no elders, deacons, or pastors, since these positions have also ceased to exist. Although Camping says we can go to other organizations like Family Radio for our spiritual nourishment, I ask, who is teaching the same thing as Family Radio? Who is teaching the church age has ended and Satan is the ruler of her? No one that I know of. That leaves us one avenue to go to, Family Radio. This reminds me of what the Apostle Paul said to the Ephesian elders in Acts chapter 20, verse 30. Also from among yourselves, that is the church, men will rise up speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after themselves. Paul warned that false teaching would come from outside the church and inside the church. Their goal, to draw away disciples after themselves. Paul said in Galatians 4:17 about those who are trying to bring them back under bondage to the law. It says, they zealously court you, but for no good. Yes, they want to exclude you that you may be zealous for them. You know, I feel bad for pastors out there who are faithfully teaching the word and who have to contend with some of their flock leaving the church due to the false teaching of Harold Camping. Don't think that no one has left their church due to this. This teaching is very, very widespread. I've heard that many pastors have had members leave their church due to this. If you're a pastor out there, you need to warn your flock about teachers like Harold Camping. You have to tell them who's out there vying for their allegiance, and yes, you must expose them by name. The Bible tells us to expose the evil deeds of darkness. Too many pastors today don't want to stir up any trouble or rock the boat and are being negligent to the command of God. If you feel funny about mentioning names, know that the Bible mentions names. Quote, I wrote to the church, but Diotrephes, who loves to have the preeminence among them, does not receive us. Hymenaeus and Philetus are of this sort who have strayed concerning the truth, saying the resurrection is already past, and they overthrow the faith of some. Alexander the coppersmith did me much harm. Demas has forsaken me. Ladies and gentlemen, it's not unloving to name false teachers from the pulpit. I don't care what the ecumenicalism of this new breed of politically correct Christianity says. If you fail to warn your flock of those who are destroying the faith, you are not taking heed, you're not a watchman, and you're not being a shepherd to the flock. Paul said that after his departure, savage wolves will come in among you, not might, not sparing the flock. Satan wants to steal, kill, and destroy your sheep. My study on Harold Camping and his newfangled teaching will be for the most part based on his book called The End of the Church Age and After, written in 2002. I have heard that keeping up with Harold's teachings can be similar to playing archery with a moving target, but my study will basically be from the teaching he presents in this book. It is possible that some of the teachings have slightly changed since the book was written in 2002, but I'll present the information as accurately as possible based on my resources. My review of his book, The End of the Church Age and After, I have to say that I was downright shocked reading it. Not because I wasn't aware of his teaching that the church age has ended, but because of his brutal treatment of Scripture. His exegesis of the Bible, if I can call it even that, is confusing, ridiculous, and sometimes even laughable. I find it hard to believe that someone who is grounded in the Word can believe this bizarre conclusion and outlandish teaching. I'm going to go at it on a limb here and say that I've read Watchtower magazines from the Jehovah's Witnesses that make more sense than his book. Now, I know that the Jehovah's Witnesses are a cult, and I'm not comparing Camping to them. I'm just saying that his treatment of Scripture is maybe one of the worst I've ever seen from a so-called Orthodox believer. Camping bounces around the Bible with no rules, no hermeneutics, and no ground rules except what apparently exists in his own mind. Next week, we'll go deeper. Tune in as we'll discuss Harold Camping's bizarre allegorical interpretation of the Bible and his strange reasons for believing that the church age is over. I'll also be refuting his teaching and equip you to answer a Campingite you may even know. I've also just ordered his new book called Time Has an End, just released hot off the press, where I hear he has a new date. Apparently the year 2011 is another hot one for Harold. Hopefully I can tell you more about it in this series as we go on. Last week we began our study on Harold Camping. Camping, head of an international organization called Family Radio, is teaching that the church age has ended, the Holy Spirit has departed, and all true believers are commanded to leave their local churches to escape God's judgment upon them. Camping teaches that Satan has been made ruler of the churches and that by worshiping at churches, we are really worshiping the devil. He's also teaching that no one can be saved in the local church today, no matter how powerfully the Word of God is preached. Evangelism has ceased to be effective in the churches, and it should only be done outside the local congregations by individuals alone or in ministries like his, Family Radio. Here's a quote from page 107 of his book called The End of the Church Age and After. When Satan has taken his seat in the churches and congregations, and the Holy Spirit is no longer in the midst of the congregation, there is no longer anyone to restrain Satan from taking the Word of God, however faithfully it has been preached, out of the listener's heart so that they may become saved. Therefore, if the Holy Spirit is no longer working in the church, it means no one can become saved as the result of the preaching in that church. This is so because God is no longer present to apply the word to the hearts of the unsaved. Camping goes on to unbelievably write that those who are members of the churches and who insist on remaining there are unsaved, even saying that those who are disobedient to God's command to leave the churches will go to hell. He writes on page 222 of his book, quote, God is warning that if we remain, we are subject to her plagues. The plagues that God is speaking about is to be cast into hell forevermore, that is to experience eternal damnation. No doubt these are very serious charges indeed. But consider this, If Mr. Camping is wrong, and the Holy Spirit has not left the churches but is still working in them, he is guilty of attributing the works of God to the devil. This sin is called what? The blasphemy of the Holy Spirit, and according to Jesus, it has eternal consequences. Harold Camping is in a very serious spiritual predicament and needs to seek some major repentance and forgiveness before standing before God on Judgment Day. Well, why does Harold Camping teach that the church age has ended? Camping consistently digs to the Old Testament to make parallel applications to the New Testament. He continues to refer to the high places of Israel, which were places of idol worship, and carries it forward, applying it to the imaginary high places of the churches. These high places, according to Camping, are some of the practices of the modern church and some of the doctrines he says are made up by men and inserted into their creeds. For example, some of the high places he lists are woman pastors, baptism being necessary for salvation, faith as an instrument of salvation. Here's an interesting one. Camping believes that if we say our faith had something to do with our salvation, we're taking away from God's grace and somehow adding works to our salvation. Another high place will be divorce and remarriage. Speaking in tongues, which Camping says is a supernatural activity from Satan. And contemporary music, specifically of it being worldly sounding and shallow. It's interesting, however, that in Matthew 24, when the disciples asked Jesus what will be the sign of the end of the age, he didn't mention any of Camping's high places, but Jesus certainly did mention this: take heed that no one, Harold Camping, deceives you. It's often said, and rightly so, that the most dangerous lie is the one mixed with the most truth. I would, like Mr. Camping, be against some of the above-mentioned points, such as women in pastoral positions and the need to be baptized to be saved. But keep in mind that rat poison is over 95% good food. It's only the small amount of poison mixed in that kills the rodent, just like a small amount of spiritual poison will destroy your spiritual life with God. By the way, I will admit that there are liberal churches out there that are unorthodox in their teachings and deserve to be pointed out as apostate. However, Camping's attack is not just directed toward the liberal churches only, but on all churches, even those who uphold biblical truth and teach sound doctrine. He says on page 29 of his book that God no longer uses an organized body of believers under the supervision of pastors and elders. The task of sending the gospel into the world has been stripped from the churches and assigned to individual Christians who are operating outside of a corporate body. Well, Harold Camping has been a student of the Word for many, many years. Many know him. Who know him well are dumbfounded by his current teachings. Apparently, he used to be a very solid and grounded teacher, interpreting the Bible very accurately. But today, his method of Bible interpretation is severely flawed. Instead of using a historical, grammatical method to come up with his teaching about the end of the church ages, he uses allegories. What is an allegory, anyway? Well, I want to give you a definition of allegory from the American Heritage Dictionary. It says, an allegory is a literary device in which each literal character, object, and event represents a symbol illustrating an idea or religious principle. To shorten it, an allegory is a symbolic representation of something. Basically, allegorical interpretations say that some plain fact or truth is not what it really appears to be, but it's a symbol of something else with a deeper spiritual meaning. For example, in Christian Science, which uses a metaphysical slash allegorical interpretation of the Bible, teaches that the person Adam was not the first man created by God, but Adam is an allegory representing error and false ideas. Resurrection in Christian Science is a symbol for spiritualization of thought, a new and higher idea of immortality or spiritual existence. As you can see, the problem with allegorical interpretations is that there is nothing to judge them by. They're completely subjective and only exist within the mind of the interpreter and whoever else he can convince of it. By employing the use of allegories, the obvious rational words on the pages of Scripture are often not what they appear to be, but are an image of a deeper spiritual truth. You can imagine that this can lead one into a big, big trouble. And it's nothing new, by the way. It was a main force of the 2nd century Gnostics who claimed you needed a deeper spiritual understanding of the Scripture to fully understand it. As a side note, did you ever think about this? Only with the Bible do people get weird with their interpretations. No one reads the daily news and interprets it any other way than what is really just written clearly on the pages. No one reads of a car accident and comes to a conclusion that the writer intended it to be an allegory and that the cars represent something like the fast-paced technological advancement of man headed for disaster, or that the man who witnessed the accident is an allegory for space aliens who are watching over mankind. You know, they put people who view the world like this in institutions with crayons and rubber suits. Only with the Bible do people get so weird. Now, I will concede that the Bible is definitely to be treated differently than the daily news. It's a spiritual book to be interpreted not just with our minds, but with the guidance and illumination of the Holy Spirit. There are meanings in the Bible that are symbolic and figurative. There are deeper meanings than sometimes what appears to the casual and undiscerning reader. The Bible is also written in different literary forms. There's poetry, biographies, apocalyptic writings, parables, general letters, and we need to treat them as they warrant treatment. You don't necessarily treat the Psalms as you do Romans. However, to treat the Bible as one big allegory is dangerous indeed. An example of an allegorical interpretation that Harold Camping uses to support his view that the churches have come to an end would be in citing the two witnesses in Revelation chapter 11. These two witnesses have been interpreted by many to be Moses and Elijah, or maybe Moses and Enoch. No one really knows for sure. These are the ones who rise up in the tribulation period, which Camping says we're in, by the way, and prophesy 1260 days. It goes on to say that after their testimony has finished, they are killed. Camping interprets this to mean that the two witnesses are representatives of all true believers during the end of the church age, and that their being killed is equivalent to them being driven out of their churches. He goes on to quote John 16:2 for support, where Jesus says, "They will put you out of the synagogues. Yes, the time is coming that whoever kills you will think that he offers God's service." Well, the problem with this is, number one, Jesus said they will put you out of the synagogues, not churches. Secondly, Jesus is talking about a forced expulsion, not a voluntary fleeing from your church like Camping is promoting. And thirdly, the church was not even born yet at this point in Scripture. By the way, Camping continues to mix Israel and the church together in prophecy. In his theology, Jerusalem now represents the church. The destruction of Jerusalem by Babylon in 587 BC, which he says is a picture of the end of the church age, which he says happened in 1994. The 144,000 in Revelation are symbols of all who become saved in the church age, and the destruction of the temple mentioned by Jesus in Matthew 24 is really speaking of the destruction of all the churches. This is called replacement theology. Replacement theology states that the church has replaced Israel, and the promises to the nation of Israel are null and void and are now attributed to the church. This interpretation of prophecy is held by some Christians, but it causes hermeneutical problems and is inaccurate. It also makes people in evangelism ministries to Jews go bonkers, but we won't go into that now. Another incredible allegorical interpretation from Camping is in Revelation 13 and the beast making fire to come down out of heaven in the sight of men. Camping says that the fire coming down out of heaven is referring to the Christians falling down backwards due to the modern practice of being slain in the spirit. Now, I don't believe being slain in the spirit is in the least bit biblical, but to equate it with fire from the beast in Revelation 13 is purely ridiculous. No one reading the Bible would come to that conclusion if read in a normal grammatical way. Allegorical interpretations are like modern art. Did you ever see modern art? You know, I walk pretty quick through that room at the art museum. Some of it looks like someone stood back and threw a bunch of paint at the canvas. Then they meditated on their navel and called the painting something like Woman with Child in Playground. But the problem is, the woman with the child at the playground isn't there. It's only in the artist's mind. Just like with the Bible, allegorical interpretations cannot be tested or proven by context or grammar, but exist in the reader's mind only and his ability to, quote, see things no one else has seen. Basically, your interpretation of the Bible is no better than the kid down the street. In the last two broadcasts, we've been analyzing the current teaching of Harold Camping of Family Radio. Harold Camping, who predicted that Christ will return in 1994, is at it again, teaching now that the church age has ended and God has ordered that Christians must depart from their local church, no matter how biblically sound it may be. He teaches both on his radio broadcast called Open Forum and in his book, The End of the Church Age and After, that the local congregations are currently under God's judgment. The Holy Spirit has left the churches and Satan has set up his throne among them. According to Camping, there are no more offices such as pastors, elders, or deacons, and we're now commanded by God to flee our local churches and to function as Christians outside the external body. Those who refuse to obey will come under God's wrath and be cast into hell forever. I think Peter's admonition in 2 Peter 2:1 applies here. It says, "But there were also false prophets among the people, even as there will be false teachers among you." Although I am not Mr. Camping's judge, I think he has some serious repenting to do before he comes under God's wrath for leading many trusting Christians into a spiritual wilderness outside the God-ordained house of worship. Just a quick update on something I said in a previous teaching. I just received Harold Camping's brand new book called Time Has an End. In it, he makes an adjustment. The year for the end of the church age has been changed from 1994 to 1988. He's also crunched out some heavy numbers and is now teaching that the year 2011 marks the end of the tribulation, which he says we're now in, and it also marks the probable end of the world. It's another hot date for Harold, so look out. Harold Camping is so adamant about his teaching that the church age is over that he has even gone as far as declaring that Bible teachers who air their sermons on his radio station, Family Radio, must avoid mentioning the church, avoid giving out meeting times for churches, and should not call themselves a pastor. I've also heard that Mr. Camping is editing sermons before they go on the air at Family Radio, removing any mention of the word church. Because of all this, many who were once broadcasting over Family Radio have discontinued doing so, and many faithful employees of Family Radio have sadly been forced to leave their jobs after many years of faithful service. As an example of all this, here's a statement from the Alliance of Confessing Evangelicals about the airing of the late Dr. James Boyce's sermons on Family Radio. Now, this is from August 2002. It says, "We have received notice that Family Radio has canceled the airing of Dr. Boyce's messages on the Bible Study Hour on the network of stations. The decision was made by Harold Camping, president of the network, after our insistence that Family Radio not edit Dr. Boyce's messages according to Mr. Camping's recent teachings that the church age has ended." Here's another statement from Joel Niederhood, who had a program called Insight on Back to God Hour broadcast on Family Radio. It says, "The Back to God Hour no longer distributes Insight to Family Radio because of the false teaching and the censoring of our programs whenever the subject did not suit them or the word church appeared." As you can see, this is no joke. It's a very serious matter. In the past broadcast, I went into some reasons why Harold Camping says the church age ended, plus examined his strange allegorical interpretations of the Bible. Today, let's get into a defense of the attack by Harold Camping on Christ's church. I want to start with a scripture, which is 1 Timothy 3:14 and 15. "These things I write to you, though I hope to come to you shortly. But if I am delayed, I write so that you may know how you ought to conduct yourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth." You know, God has established the church on earth as a continual and living representation of his wisdom, grace, and salvation for mankind. The church is a place where men and women who may have nothing else in common come together in unity to share in spiritual fellowship with one another, worship the Lord, and hear his word taught publicly. The church is a demonstration of God's wonderful plan of redemption. It's a picture of the redeemed who were purchased with the shed blood of His Son. The church has been given the responsibility to dispense the spiritual truth of God's Word, beginning on the day of Pentecost 2,000 years ago, and has been the pillar and ground of the unchanging truth that saves to a lost world. I know that there are many liberal churches that have been straying from God's Word, and that's not what I'm talking about here. I'm speaking of those local churches of various denominations that hold true to the teaching of the Scripture, prayer, and to corporate worship, and are obeying the command from Jesus to make disciples of all nations. It's important to note that nowhere in the Scriptures are we told of a time when the Holy Spirit would abandon the church, or of a time when God would destroy it. We are never told of a time when Jesus would divorce His bride, or that the church age would end before His coming back to receive her to Himself. I think the Apostle Paul would be enraged if he knew that this is currently being taught. Paul's heart for the church is evident in his teachings, even attributing 3 books specifically to qualifications for pastors, elders, and deacons. He spent much of his ministry correcting church practices and desperately trying to steer them back on the right biblical course. Those Christians who are following Harold Camping's warning to flee the church are in a very dangerous position. They're removing themselves out from under the divinely established authority put over them by the Holy Spirit to protect, exhort, train, and feed them. They're deceived by Camping into believing that they'll be better off outside the corporate body, outside the safety net of truth. Although Camping encourages them to join together in a fellowship of like-minded believers with no leadership, nowhere in the Bible does it speak of a man-made leaderless fellowship of believers that is appointed by God to gather in. Nowhere in God's plan for the church is there a free-for-all public group devoid of pastors and elders. Now, I have nothing against home Bible studies. They're great, but they do not and cannot take the place of a local church. Christians are not called to be outside of the body. We are not called to be lone ranger Christians battling the world, the flesh, and the devil. I've very rarely seen a Christian outside a local body of believers who is growing in their faith. In fact, I don't even know if I've ever seen that. And the reason is because, like taking a fish out of water, you're taking a believer out of the environment he's to thrive and grow in. It's the environment where he is to use his spiritual gifts to bless others, be fed the Word of God, and grow into spiritual maturity. Christians, Harold Camping style, who are separated from the church, are targets for all kinds of deception from cults, false teachers, and are much more vulnerable to fall into a sinful and unproductive lifestyle. Here is a verse supporting the continuation and perpetuity of the church, which is Ephesians 3:21. It says, "Now to Him who is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us, to Him be glory in the church by Jesus Christ to all generations forever and ever. Amen." The question is simple. How can this passage have fulfillment, and how could God have been given glory in the church forever and ever throughout all generations if the church has ceased to exist as a local entity on earth? Now, Camping and his followers will probably claim that this verse is referring to the universal, invisible church of which all born-again believers are members of. But again, I must repeat that nowhere in Scripture are we told of a time when God would abandon His local corporate body of believers, remove the Holy Spirit from the church, and call down judgment on her for what Camping calls her high places. This conclusion only exists in Camping's mind and in his faulty allegorical interpretation of putting scriptures together that don't belong. Some problems that Camping has inadvertently run into via his false teaching that the church age has ended have been noted by James White in his book refuting Camping called Dangerous Airwaves. He writes that someone called into Harold Camping's Open Forum, which is a daily call-in talk show on family radio, and asked whether it was acceptable to have a woman address the new home fellowships in the role of a preacher. Camping, sticking to his guns, said no, because 1 Timothy 2 is still in force. But 1 Timothy 2 is in reference to the church, not an unofficial elderless group of Christians. If the church is over, why is this command still in effect? Other problems that exist are questions concerning marriage. Who's qualified to marry people now if there are no more pastors and elders with any biblical authority? On the flip side, what about burials and funerals? What is one to do about that? Harold Camping, as I mentioned on a previous program, is also teaching that just like the church age has ended, so did the ordinances of Christian baptism and sharing of the Lord's Supper. It's interesting that even though Camping still adheres to the Great Commission to share the gospel with the lost as long as it's done only through individual Christians and not the church, he's removing a very important command of that Great Commission by eliminating baptism. But nowhere in the New Testament are we told that there will come a day when we're to preach the gospel to the lost but tell them not to get baptized. Now, I'm not a believer in baptismal regeneration, that is, that one must be baptized to be saved. But baptism goes hand in hand with the Great Commission of Matthew 28. To say that baptism has ceased to be an ordinance from God is completely unbiblical. Secondly, Camping also nicks the Lord's Supper along with baptism, but 1 Corinthians 11:26 says it should continue to be celebrated till Jesus comes again. Quote, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." As long as Jesus isn't here yet, and he wasn't last time I checked, we're to continue sharing believers' communion together. Also, the word "you" in this verse, "as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." The word "you" is a plural. It's not speaking of individual Christians per se, but the church congregation as a whole. The gathered church will continue to celebrate the Lord's Supper until Jesus comes to receive us to himself. Harold Camping is again seriously misled and deceiving people into disobedience to another biblical command. I want to end with 1 Corinthians 3:16 and 17, which was also written as a warning by Paul to the church, to the corporate body of believers. He wrote, quote, "Do you not know that you, the church, are the temple of God, and that the Spirit of God dwells in you? If anyone defiles the temple of God, God will destroy him, for the temple of God is holy, which temple you are." In conclusion, Mr. Camping is seriously wrong and teaching a very dangerous heresy. He needs prayer for his soul to come back to God in repentance. Finally, whatever you do, don't flee from your church. Flee from Harold Camping and Family Radio. If you would like a CD of this series on Harold Camping and the end of the church age, I'm offering it for free if you contact me by phone or by email. My email is help@tower2truth.net. My phone number is 610-513-5525. That's 610-513-5525. For information on cults such as Jehovah's Witnesses or Mormons, our website again is tower2truth.net. We're also available to teach on cults and Bible discernment at your church, Sunday school, upcoming retreat, or Bible study. Don't miss us again next week when we discuss another important apologetic issue facing Christianity today, which is, what do the purpose-driven life and Ladies' Home Journal have in common? Finally, be a Berean. Search the scriptures daily. Be a witness for Jesus today. And remember, don't just believe everything you hear, but test all things.